This is Fresh Air. Jhumpa Lahiri's new novel, The Lowland, is on the long list for the National Book Award. Finalists will be announced on October 16th. It's also been placed on the short list for the Man Booker Prize. Lahiri has already won a Pulitzer and the O. Henry Award. Book critic Maureen Carrigan says Lahiri should start making more room in her trophy cabinet. Here's her review of The Lowland.
Geography is destiny in Jhumpa Lahiri's new novel, The Lowland. Her title refers to a marshy stretch of land between two ponds in a Calcutta neighborhood where two very close brothers grow up. In monsoon season, the marsh floods and the ponds combine. In summer, the floodwater evaporates. You don't need your decoder ring to figure out that the two ponds symbolize the two brothers, at times separate, at other times inseparable. But there's still more meaning lurking in this rich landscape. Lahiri's narrator goes on to tell us that certain creatures laid eggs that were able to endure the dry season. Others survived by burying themselves in mud, simulating death, waiting for the return of rain. For most of Lahiri's novel, we're stuck in the mud with the cautious older brother, whose name is Subhash. Consequently, there's a quality of stillness to The Lowland that, especially in its opening sections, almost verges on the stagnant, or would were it not for Lahiri's always surprising language and plotting. The Lowland is something of a departure for Lahiri, whose other work often explores the struggles of Indian immigrant families. The Lowland, instead, opens in Calcutta in the 1950s and 60s and keeps returning there, even as the main story moves ahead in time. As a college student in the late 60s, Subhash's younger, more daredevil brother, Udayan, becomes involved in the Maoist Naxalite political movement, set on bettering the living conditions of India's poor through violent uprising. Subhash, in contrast, dutifully dedicates himself to personal rather than collective improvement. He earns a scholarship to study science in America and moves to Rhode Island. For a couple of lonely years in a student boarding house, he learns to live without the voices of his family. But when Udayan is executed by the police in that very same marsh between the ponds, Subhash races back to Calcutta. He goes to comfort his parents, but as it turns out, he also rescues his murdered brother's pregnant wife, Gowri, from her own diminished future as a widowed and unwelcome daughter-in-law. The Lowland is buoyantly ambitious in both its story, I've only summarized the first quarter of the novel here, and its form. Subhash, his parents, Gowri, and the daughter she eventually bears are all reticent people. At one point, Subhash thinks of them as a family of solitaries, so it's necessary for our narrator to constantly eavesdrop on their various thoughts and relay them to us. For instance, Subhash proposes to Gowri by stressing the practicalities of their union. He woos her by saying, in America, she could pursue her studies in philosophy. But his unspoken words are those of a lovesick poet. We're told, Subhash had tried to deny the attraction he felt for Gowri, but it was like the light of the fireflies that swam up to the house at night, random points that surrounded him, that glowed and then receded without a trail. Hastily enough, the two do wind up marrying and raising Gowri's daughter in America, but the memory of Udayan, his fierce politics and his terrible death, has corrosive after effects. The Lowland is a novel about the rashness of youth, as well as the hesitation and regret that can make a long life not worth living. Towards the end of The Lowland, a metaphorical monsoon finally hits, rousing Subhash out of his lifelong timidity, that mud hiding place Lahiri describes in her lyrical opening. Part of the beauty of this novel is that it's far from a foregone conclusion whether this hard rain will give Subhash new life or drown him.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Lowland by Jhumpa Lahiri. You can read an excerpt on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show. And you can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. Our blog is on Tumblr at nprfreshair.tumblr.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. I'm Terry Gross.